Brought to you by North Memorial Health, where customers are treated like family. That means a big smile when you walk in the door and making sure your visit is as pleasant as possible. It's just like your family treats you. Find your healthy family at northmemorial.com/family.
Welcome to another episode of the Access Vikings podcast. My name is Andrew Kramer, joined by Ben Gessling and Michael Rand of the Star Tribune. Hi, guys.
Hey, hello. How you doing, Andrew?
Talking about Mike, your favorite subject.
Offensive line.
Not Jim, not Recess, the offensive line.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, for the Vikings, it does not involve Jim or Recess.
Oh, this is part two of our five-part podcast previewing Vikings free agency, the decisions they have to make, their free agents, the guys on the current roster that have decisions coming that start really next week with the opening bell of free agency, and then obviously we'll look around the NFL and potential options that they might have. Not a lot of money to throw around, though. The Vikings aren't going to be big spenders. They never are in free agency, but the decisions are on their own roster. And Mike, I think we need to start with you and the decision that they have to make at left tackle with Riley Reiff.
Yeah, it's a big one, right? Because his cap number is up over $13 million this year. That doesn't feel like it's tenable. But some of your pre-show research tells us that's only the 10th highest cap figure of all left tackles. So it's not, like, outlandish in the big picture of left tackles.
We put a lot of work into this particular podcast, by the way. We've done a lot of research for this one.
A lot of research for this
one. It's as if we've recorded it once before.
We should do this every week, actually, because I think it makes it does make it better.
Just do this much research.
But, yeah,
it's as if we had a dress rehearsal.
But yes, but honestly, like, Riley Reiff is the question, right? Because if they, you know, moving him to guard sounds like it's an option, but then what do you do at tackle? Are you really confident? You know, that decision probably doesn't get made till after the draft, right? Because you're talking about leverage, you're talking about other things, but the tackle market, for agent-wise, doesn't look great.
It's so much money if you want to pay for it. The Vikings found that out. They know that. They found it out a few years ago when they paid for Riley Reiff. But somehow, a few years later, Riley Reiff's contract's around 10th, 11th, 12th in average value. And in terms of 2020 cap hit, it's 10th. It's insane. Nate Solder, which I brought up once before, you guys didn't hear my great point, but Nate Solder, $19.5 million. How does David Gettleman still have a job? Anyway, the Giants are paying Nate Solder.
Delivered with much more conviction this time.
$19 million.
Yeah. So that's the question, right? Like, what do you...
Pass protection is expensive.
It's expensive. That's why they don't pay for it. So, you know, I'm not gonna pay so much for this. But, yeah, it's... So...
In this economy?
So, obviously, it's cheaper to go after a guard, right? It's cheaper to think you could do that. So, what's the play here? The play here is either stick with Reiff and O'Neal as your tackles, just kind of live with Reef's number, or extend him. I don't know. He's 32 to push some of that money down the road. I don't know. How many guys can you do that with before it catches up with you at a certain point? Or do you draft someone, move him inside, and probably look for yet another guard also in free agency to really beef up what was the problem with the line last year, which was the interior?
Here's where the Reiff thing to me is interesting. Mike Zimmer says at the Combine, we are open to moving him to left guard or to guard. I guess he didn't specify left guard.
You would think
per se. You would think it'd be left guard. That does not suggest a terribly high level of satisfaction with the job he's done at left tackle. I don't think if you're the Lions with Taylor Decker or the Packers with David Bakhtiari, you're not sitting there saying, well, we might move that guy to left guard because you're pretty happy with what you have. If you're talking about doing that here, it does not suggest that you're terribly thrilled. But if you were to do it, it then means you are banking on it. It's a very good draft class for tackles, but you're banking on the right guy being there at 25 and then that guy being able to come in and step in day one for you and start. So if you're not confident in that, if you're not wanting to probably tip your hand that much in the draft process, then you have to keep Reiff potentially at left tackle or go out and try to do something else. And if you're keeping him at left tackle, he has no reason to come out and say, yeah, I'm going to take a pay cut. Because if he's going to say, okay, you want me to be your left tackle, yeah, my cap hits 10th in the league.
That was the market rate when you signed me, and this is still the market rate.
It's the market rate. I'm not asking for top of the market. I'm asking to play on a deal that is in the top third of the league, but he'd point to the fact that he played through an injury 2 years ago. He was healthy last year. He's a veteran. It's at least something he could add to his marketability. So it's if you're going to keep him a left tackle, I think it's hard to do so with a pay cut.
How would you describe Riley Reiff as a player? Like, what's the first word you think of to describe, like, as a qualifier for his skill level?
I would say durable, reliable in the sense of you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Is he average? Is he above average? How good
like
is Riley?
TGI Fridays.
How good is Riley Reiff? I guess is my question. Like, is he?
It's serviceable. It's serviceable. They haven't had serviceable at left tackle, and so it's almost like the Kirk Cousins question.
It's like
where
the league average.
It's very different, but it's like, look, we haven't had serviceable at this position. Is it worth blowing up? Because how much better can we get, and how much worse can it possibly get?
Because he doesn't excite you. He doesn't make you think, boy, this is a guy we want to. This is the guy that has to be the left tackle. But
yeah, Applebee's.
You could do a lot worse than to go into next year saying Brian O'Neill and Riley Reiff are our tackles. We need to fix the interior of the line.
I mean, you're not getting the steak dinner, but if you want, you know, a burger, maybe some
on his best day,
jalapeno poppers.
Might be Outback.
Maybe go to Applebee's.
Yeah, Outback Steakhouse, a little surf and turf.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Murray's, but,
no, but
if you like a Bloomin' Onion, you want a steak for $20, maybe you get some lobster.
The good thing is, and Mike, you brought up earlier about the draft and waiting for this. If you're the Vikings, you can't necessarily bank on Riley's money being available to you now. Because if I'm Riley Reiff, I say, go ahead, cut me. As Ben was talking about, look, my leverage is such that this is the market. Just go ahead, cut me. If you're the Vikings, you say, well, maybe in this draft class that has potentially 4 to 5 tackles that could be cornerstones, first-round picks this year that could help teams for 5 to 10 years, if the Vikings get one of those somehow in the draft, that's when you go back to them and say, all right, now we're moving you to guard. Now can you potentially re-sign an extension that will lower that number, give you some security for a few years, whereas now you really only have 2020 to lean back on.
Kyle Rudolph playbook a year later.
The flip side of that is you don't know if he can play guard.
You don't.
Yeah. In college.
Yeah. I mean, and you.
It's going to be a while ago.
Long time ago. You are projecting.
A lot of things in college.
You're projecting there that that's going to be a fit, whereas you know he can be your tackle. So it's an interesting dilemma. And it also kind of, you know, speaks to the challenges they're going to have in the draft because they have a lot of needs.
Yeah, not to throw a bunch of cold water on this, but I think a lot of fans, at least on social media, have grand visions of Trent Williams being traded here.
For Stephon Diggs.
Jason Peters now is going to be a free agent. He's 38 years old. Andrew Whitworth, free agent, 38 years old.
That seems
old. Andrew Whitworth, 38 years old the last time he was a free agent?
Yeah, he doesn't age, actually. Yeah. Fun fact.
Fine line.
He doesn't age. He just doesn't age.
Yeah.
So Andrew Whitworth's still 38 years old. How much do you want to pay and bank on that, though? The options in free agency aren't there.
No, they're not. And maybe this is a transition into, like, Rashad Hill. He's kind of been your swing tackle. Like, that seems like he might be in the market to go somewhere else this year.
Yeah, so they've got a few free agents. Rashad Hill's top among them because he's played quite a bit. I think he's had 7 starts in the past few years. As much as they like the reliability of having a serviceable left tackle and having a budding star in Brian O'Neill, they still had to lean on Rashad quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so with Rashad potentially going elsewhere, he might come back. But the indications that I got last week anyway are that he's got offers and that potentially he might be able to go elsewhere. If that's the case, where do you go? The options aren't prevalent necessarily on the free agent market for backup serviceable tackles either.
Do we think that, and I think the answer is no, but I just throw it out there for the sake of conversation. Is there any sense in thinking about moving Brian O'Neill to the left tackle?
I like how Mike Zimmer brought it up unprompted.
Really?
Yeah, because he was asked about, I think he was asked about, what was he asked about? I can't remember the question.
Probably offensive line.
It had something to do with that. Or I think it had something to do with draft.
Assumes.
I think it had something to do maybe with drafting a tackle. And Mike had just said, like, well, everybody assumes we're just going to move Brian to the left side or something like that.
Is that as important these days anyway? Like, it feels like there's good edge rushers everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good
exactly. When Danielle Hunter's lining up against your right tackle every time, if you're an opponent of the Vikings, does it matter? Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Brian has got to face him quite a bit. So that's right. That's right. Ooh, what's the alarm? You need to get to something?
Parking meter.
Parking meter?
Yeah, no, sorry.
They don't check it anyway. All right. Guard. Free agent options. Joe Thuney is going to be the name that everybody wants. People
too expensive.
Sign.
Moving on. Randball's got
money.
A podcast.
So you're in the bargain store. You're walking around the thrift store.
They got the
store.
App. You're good.
You're at the 99 cent store. What's your favorite thrift store, Ben? What was it you said?
I think I said Five Below.
That's
before.
Right. Five Below. You walk up and you see a Max Garcia. Fourth round pick by the Broncos. Started 16 games at left guard. Could be this year's Dakota Dozier, maybe better version
could
of Dakota
Could be this
Dozier.
Year's TJ Clemmings, guy who just started out by
he's
default.
An offensive lineman.
Maybe. The Vikings could cut Pat Elflein, could just bench him. He could end up being a $2 million backup. But as we brought up on the previous podcast, Pat Elflein got a raise that could work against him because it's non-guaranteed, basically $1.1 million that are now just on the Vikings books that they have to worry about.
For all you people wondering why we keep referring to a previous podcast, you didn't miss anything. We tried recording this once and our recorder broke.
Yep.
So
we're okay though, because both.
This is better.
It's been better both times.
The winners, dear listeners, are you folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we are much better on this one.
It's all about the journey.
Maybe it's a better room. Good in the room. We're good in the room, but yeah, it's. I don't know. The offensive line has been. It bothers me every year, right? And I'm probably less bothered by it right now than I've been in a few years, just because I feel like they have taken at least some meaningful steps to try to address it. My big question this year is, I know there's a large like jump they could take. Like there's still to go from, you know, whatever they were in 2018 was probably like, you know, bottom three, bottom five at least.
Bad.
To be last year, still I think a little bit below average, but less bad, so be more in the 20 range. Obviously, there's, you know, another jump that or two that they can make, but personnel wise, I just don't, and money wise, I don't see how they get there unless they get really smart or really lucky.
Yeah, big picture wise, there was a lot of talk from people, Vikings people down in Indianapolis during the combine about, hey, this is our fourth different coordinator now in 4 years, or for some of the assistants who have been there, it's like going through this. It's still a change, but big picture wise, at least for the scouts, for organizationally, it's not a giant. It's not from John DeFilippo to Kevin Stefanski. That was a huge change. Not only
even North Turner to Pat Shurmur, are you changing terminology and numbers to words?
I don't
and all
mean
stuff.
That. I mean in terms of what you're looking for.
Yeah,
that
too.
We're all of a sudden a guy like, you know, Alex Boone became obsolete and not fit what they wanted because they changed what they wanted to do. That's kind of the case, at least now that they have Gary Kubiak stepping in. It's still very similar in what they're looking for. Yep. Pat Elflein still has a chance of fitting what they're trying to look for. Garrett Bradbury is still obviously a big piece. So these are things that they don't have to restart and kind of start throwing out some of these old pieces. So that's at least something for the Vikings to lean on.
Alex Boone's coming back, by the way.
Saw that.
With his latest offensive line rebuild. I did see that.
You
yeah.
could sign him.
Well, I think Mike Harris wants to make a comeback, too. All the old offensive linemen are coming back.
What's Andre Smith up to?
He actually re-signed with Baltimore, I believe, somehow.
Still playing.
Somehow, man. If you're 6'6" and you weigh that much, you're going to get some chances.
TJ Clemmings is an offensive lineman.
He's an offensive lineman. You got to stop dragging him. You got to stop dragging the
I'm just quoting Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson, wasn't it? Yeah, it
was yeah, Brian Robinson. He was asked... what his opinion was of the, because he was going to face him.
Yes, they're playing the Redskins.
He was in Washington, yes, and he's a tackle. And he said, like, if my mama told me, like, if I can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
That was cold.
He was a gentleman.
That was
that
really
Brian,
cold.
Gentleman, that Brian Robinson.
As opposed to his counterpart at the time, who was calling Greg Robinson lazy.
Oh, Everson came out and just destroyed Greg Robinson.
That was great.
Well, Frank, is that the same Greg Robinson who just got arrested in Texas near the border?
I sure hope so, for the sake of our podcast. Yeah.
You didn't hear about this?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I just didn't know if it was the same Greg Robinson.
We're not as good of NFL pot arrest near the border minds as you are.
I'm just saying it's a headline that sticks out. How do you just gloss over that?
Recreational use.
The Vikings might be looking for a swing tackle in free agency, some depth, maybe an interior offensive lineman. They have Dakota Dozier as a free agent, Brett Jones and Rashad Hill, as we told you earlier. Guys, I don't think they're going to be making many other changes.
No, I mean, again, they're going to lean probably on the draft, I would think, but they're going to lean on the draft for a lot of stuff. So you can't just keep saying, they're going to draft a cornerback, they're going to draft a interior lineman, they're going to draft this and that. Like,
oh, they're going to draft a cornerback.
At a certain point, you can draft one, but it's in the fifth round. You don't know if that player's any good. Like, they have, like, probably, what, three chances at, like, real impact players in the first three rounds. Unless they trade Diggs, right, and get a high pick and kind of increase their chances there, but then you're taking away from the wide receiver group. So it's I got a lot of needs for a team that just went 10-6 and feels like they're still bringing back a lot of players.
When you look at just the separation of where this team was from the NFC powers, you know, San Francisco, Green Bay, the teams that beat them, it was the difference was the talent up front.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It really was the offensive line. The defensive
line
beat
up on both lines of scrimmage in that game against the 49ers, who then went and did it to the Packers again.
And it stuck out so much interior-wise where DeForest Buckner is just blowing up, Pat Elflein, Garrett Bradbury. I think Bradbury's season's one that it'll be interesting to see moving forward how much a change at left guard could help him, I think. Because he's a guy that I think struggled quite a bit, and that combination of Bradbury and Elflein was really, really bad, and pass protection for them especially.
Yeah, I mean, just think back to those first couple of weeks of the season, and again, it's the first weeks with a new combination, but Grady Jarrett, Kenny Clark, I mean, even in that game against the Packers in week 16 that they needed to win, to have any chance to win the division. It was a lot of pressure up the middle.
What's that? Moving physical Zadarius or Smith. Scheme or both? Just that they were they getting overpowered or were they just not understanding what they were supposed to be doing?
Therein lies the gamble, right? If you think it's scheme, you think you can fix it.
49ers game, that was just outclassed. To me, that was just
To
me, that was like watching some training camp practices where we're watching Danielle Hunter tee off on whomever.
Yeah, they were running it well in that game.
Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner especially matched up against either the center left guard what we were talking about. It was so bad. Bradbury, the Vikings hope that he can add some bulk to him and can hold up much better.
That's
and not
the
get
concern
bulk,
with him is that he's awfully – I mean, I think we had that conversation with a couple people at the combine that were saying, well – yeah, we liked him, but he's on the small side.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the question with him is can he put enough on his frame to be able to stand up there?
Yeah, there are a lot of guards, centers who are going to get paid in free agency this year. Graham Glasgow is a guy that a lot of people might say who, but he's a Detroit Lion who's going to probably top the market along with Joe Thuney. Ronald Leary, former Bronco, got released by Denver. He's out there, veteran that could sign and start with somebody right away. Just don't expect the Vikings to have any room or really allocate the resources to do that this year, or really they haven't for any year in the past.
So. Max Garcia it is.
What was that?
Max Garcia it is.
Max Garcia, that's what I'm saying. So how about Aronis Grassou?
You're just making up
names.
See, sometimes at the dollar store, there's like these off brands.
You just call me
these off brands, and that sounds like an off brand. Like sometimes at the dollar store, like I don't go to the dollar store that much, but like sometimes you're surprised at like what you can find for a dollar.
Like this thing looks like it's gonna work really well.
That's what I'm saying. That might be those like German gummy bears. You're like, this is actually really good.
I got a 4-pack of AA batteries. I don't recognize the brand name, but they're a dollar, so I bet they last.
It does my dishes and it can be used as an iron?
And washes the car.
Remember that Joe Berger they bought a few years ago?
Yeah.
They're like, holy cow, this really
remember
works.
When he became like their best offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Instantly. I miss Joe Berger.
I feel like the Chris Farley thing. Remember when you guys did
I'd probably talk about Joe Berger more than
I feel
anybody
like
else.
Joe Berger's career has been well commemorated on this podcast.
It has. I've talked about Joe Berger more than
once.
Both,
man.
Does anybody talk about interior offensive line play more than this podcast?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Just offensive line play in general.
Interior
like
line play is a
But interior
big
line
one.
Play. We focus on it quite
it's
a bit.
It's big.
Anything else we need to get to regarding the Vikings offensive line, NFL free agency, all of the above?
Probably not. I mean, we're just...
They trained for Trent Williams? Mike, I'll hang up and listen.
That would be that'd be fun, right? He's expensive. And again, the problem is the dream scenario in terms of that is the Diggs swap, right? But swapping Diggs, you're still taking on a lot of his cap, plus you're bringing in a pretty big cap number, and that is not a team that can absorb a lot of that. So it just doesn't feel realistic.
Financially, that doesn't fit.
No.
Yeah, any kind of deal that would include Diggs for a trade.
I mean,
you got to pay him a lot of money.
But, I mean, if they look at it and they say, boy, like, imagine having Trent Williams and Brian O'Neill as your anchor tackles, that'd feel pretty good. Yeah. So I guess it kind of comes down to, you know, is it one of those kind of all-in moves you make and you say, we'll figure out how to make this work with two or three other moves that we maybe didn't necessarily want to make.
Somebody that Kirk Cousins knows as well, and if Kirk's contract is something where they can finagle some contract space out of too with an extension, maybe they use that as part of it. But I think Trent's going to have a lot of suitors. I think Washington's going to have a lot of suitors that are going to give up maybe a lot more than the Vikings are willing to give up for Trent, and that plays into it as well.
Would they do it straight up for Diggs? I mean, they may say we want picks instead of players.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Regardless of whether it
they're
works
not that
financially,
close to being a contender.
Which it wouldn't. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe they would care more about the assets.
Diggs is still awfully young, but
yeah, and with their young quarterback, you never know.
Yeah.
Especially if they're gonna maybe even draft somebody as they keep trying to float out there. They're not gonna pass on Chase Young, though. There's no way. All right, guys. Well, thanks for checking out the podcast talking about the offensive line. We will get into defensive line, the secondary, and quarterbacks looking big picture later in the week. And obviously reporting all of the above and what happens at StarTribune.com. Please check out all of our podcasts across all Twin Cities sports as well at StarTribune.com.
Maybe you should get off the podcast.